Welcome to Closer to Venus. I'm Johnny Burke, and today's guest is Jade DeCruz. She is an intuitive healer, channel, Akashic Records reader, and author. Her work also includes Dijet Meditation, which teaches how to shift the structure of your reality. In this episode, we'll talk about her book, Divine Love, The Winged Beings of Light. Jade, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Johnny. Brilliant to be here. Yeah.
Excellent. We are glad to have you. One of the first things I noticed about your book, speaking of which, is how you describe the universe as working in cycles. There is apparently a good period and a down period. How did you discover that?
Oh, right. That's a really long answer, but I'll try to concise it. When you're looking at astrology and the sequence of the astrological cycles that we all have in our birth charts, we're always going to have periods which are heavier and periods which are lighter. So I'm a big fan of astrology. And so intuitively for me, that is why I tend to use astrology to understand when am I having a low dip. Yeah, there are planets, you know, like Saturn, which can be quite heavy, to avoid certain engagements during that time. And there is going to be lighter periods, for example, perhaps Mercury, where there's more interaction going on. So that's what I meant by it, because the universe is a wave. Everything's a waveform. It's never like that. No, it's always up and down. So that's the kind of short answer.
So speaking of astrology, could that somehow be related to what we often hear as coming out of the Piscean age and going into the Aquarian age? Or is that something completely different?
Also, yeah. I mean, that's the kind of replica on a bigger scale, because that's the sort of whole procession of, you know, when we have these, I think they're like 12,000 year cycles.
Wow, 12,000.
I think so. I'm not an astrologist, but it's thousands of years. Each sign brings a different quality. So that's happening at the same time. But within that, yeah, is your own astrological chart, which you work with from the day you're born until you pass.
Okay, more questions about cycles. I can't help but think of ancient civilizations, speaking of thousands of years. Many people have tried to describe or discover how Atlantis, for instance, actually fell. And I've had speakers even come on this podcast and talk about how we were at a peak at one point of that civilization, and then it started to like go down as people became more materialistic, more greedy. And it's almost as if you can plot consciousness in a cycle. In some ways, it reminds me of the stock market that goes up and down in cycles.
Exactly.
In your experience, do you have any insight into that?
Yeah. So I don't really know too much about Atlantis. But intuitively, yeah, it does make sense. I mean, all these big classic civilizations, they've all been through the same pattern, empire, and then we kind of get too arrogant with our knowledge and we kind of go to war and defeat ourselves, as it were, and we start all over again. Or there's always a period of a great flood or some kind of cataclysmic event. I think we're supposed to learn from that so that it doesn't happen again.
One of the things I wanted to ask about your winged beings of light, we will definitely get to that, is if they have any insight into those ancient civilizations. The Dijet meditation that I believe you are the founder of. And
yeah.
First of all, did I actually pronounce that right? Was I even close?
Yeah, Dijet. You've got a very sophisticated French accent with it. It's just Dijet. Oh. It's actually the name of the first recorded history of warriors or a group or an entity which protected the intergalactic forces. And this sort of record was found in Mali way before the Kemetic Empire, maybe going back to about 10,000 years ago or something like that. Somehow I found the root of that. I don't know how these things happen. And I'm able to translate that through a meditation, which I called Dijet meditation. But the word actually comes from these warriors in Mali who were at the time working with, I guess, intergalactic type.
The warriors, for those of us that are interested in history, what period, you're saying that's 10,000 years ago, do they have adjacent civilizations. I believe there was an Indian Empire about the same time.
I know which one you mean, yeah.
What else did you learn about these warriors?
Well, to be honest, there's nothing that you can really look at historically because not many people seem to know about them or assume. I haven't actually been able to find any real sources apart from one or two. I think it was through Cambridge University professor who had written about the Djed warriors in Mali about 10,000 years ago. She had two articles about them. Other than that, on a level of facts like that, I'm still investigating, but most of the insight that I get does fall into place for me synchronistically, because when I do these meditations, we are somehow bringing in personal power and freedom, and it's about breaking the matrix or being able to dissolve this kind of slave planet mentality, which we're being controlled.
And which we will dive into very shortly. Very, very interesting stuff. So the discovery of the Djed meditation, did that have anything to do with you discovering the winged beings of light and getting communications and so forth?
Very, very interesting, Johnny, because the two came to me separately. However, during the same period of time. So the channeling is completely separate in that I just started to channel, whereas the meditations came to me through initially meditating normally, and then I started to use my hands quite intuitively, and I would be working specifically actually with a tree. I know this sounds a bit bizarre. That was in a garden. I was living somewhere with this tree right in front of the window for about 2 years. And it was during that period of time that every time I sat, meditated with that tree, I started doing this weird stuff that I couldn't actually explain. Through that, I began to understand that I was able to shift my perception and orientation in my life. And I started to change. I started to become more powerful in my responses to people, in my being, my actions. And I realized quite quickly that I was able to have more control over my day-to-day being and kind of also change my trajectory more towards where I wanted to go, as opposed to being a passive reactor to life.
So those two things came into your life roughly about the same time.
Yeah.
My observations of the book gave me the impression that I could probably go back and read this 5 or 6 times and still come up with different things every time. So do we need an introduction to, I believe there may be like 14 of them, the winged beings of light. Who are they? Are they spirit beings, spirit guides, angels, intergalactic beings, or are they all intergalactic beings anyway?
They're all intergalactic beings anyway. God is there also represented. And in the book, God takes a persona as a being.
A human or humanoid looking?
Well, actually as a God. Well, yeah, God, as in the human perception of what God may look like, not an extraterrestrial or anything like that. But the reason I think that's interesting is because I separate God from Source, in that I now, since writing the book, I actually do have an experience of Source and what Source feels like. So the God that comes into the winged beings of light is actually our perception, or, well, my perception, this reality's God, as in what we believe God is like, a very loving force. But I wouldn't say that's the all that is Source.
It seems to be this God is what we would normally manifest or imagine what God would be like, which is separate from Source.
Yes.
Very interesting stuff. So when did the messages start coming? Were there visuals? Was it auditory? What was it like?
They came very suddenly. So I never channeled in my life before, Johnny. Not at all. Never dreamed of channeling, never wanted to channel necessarily. Wasn't my thing. And I reiterate that because so many people sort of say, oh, I've been trying to channel for ages and how do you do it? And it's like, I actually don't know. What happened was I went to the computer to write. I just wanted to write a book. I was really broke at the time. I just wanted to write an ebook, you know, so I could do something marketing, I could sell it. I literally sat down on the computer, and as I was starting to write, I felt this beautiful presence all around me. I allowed it to come in. I didn't question it. And as I started typing, the words of the book began to kind of sprawl out on the page. And I didn't question what I was writing either, because I understood there was something happening and I didn't want to interrupt the sequence. And that actually forms the first part of the book. So very, very spontaneous, totally unexpected. Yeah.
It sounds like an instance of automatic writing. Is that accurate?
Yes. That bit came through as words. It was like writing down, you know, the words. Then what developed every time I sat down or I felt the need to kind of work out what was coming through, that bit started to come as images. So actually now the winged beings of light, because they're always with me, they're with me since then, they communicate to me by showing me. It's really interesting because actually I do hear them talking to me, but I don't hear the sound. It's like
telepathic, in other words. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. And I see them talking to me. Like now, actually, I can see they're talking to me here because they're all lined up.
What are they saying about this episode of the podcast? Are they giving you ideas?
Cheering it on. They're like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, they love it.
Tell them I appreciate them. And we all appreciate them. You see images. So what do they look like? Do they look somewhat human, or are they going to look different based on what we imagine that they look like?
Yeah, that's also interesting because I think that they probably come in as whoever reads the book, they'll come into your interpretation in the way that you would imagine or the reader would imagine. So I think it's going to be different for all of us. For me, Thoth comes in with a beautiful suit, very, very dapper. There's some sort of Victorian figure who's extremely eloquent. It's interesting because obviously, you know, if anyone knows Thoth, you know, it's nothing like that at all. But they come in with their personality for me. They're all quite interesting personalities. And I think it's the way that they look to me is exactly how the persona is.
So the persona that is presented by the winged beings of light, it seemed to be they're almost like shapeshifters to present themselves as appropriate for that particular human.
Yes.
Get that right? Okay.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not the first time I've heard that, so it's pretty consistent. Now, burning question. Your book talks about beings from another star system that either have kept us or are still keeping us from raising our frequencies. Who are they?
It's so difficult to say who they are because I actually haven't gone into the whole extraterrestrial kind of conspiracy thing too much. So I don't know the names of all the different entities. And of course, there are good reptilians and bad reptilians. From what I understand, it's the beings that came from Nibiru a long time ago. I think their planet touches our planet every 12,000 years. And essentially, 12,000 years ago, we got into a slave planet by these, how do you call them, Nibirians? You see, for me, the Nibirian starseed are actually blueprinters. Now, I work with blueprinters all the time. They're a fantastic race, absolutely fantastic race. So,
blueprinters?
Yeah, they're not malevolent at all. I attached them to Nibiru because the blueprinters don't have a home planet, as it were, and they're kind of like wanderers, and they would have come from Nibiru, if anything, which is completely out of our galactic arena.
Okay.
I can't say archons or reptilians or because I don't really know, but there's definitely something which is holding this matrix in a very sad state.
Now, are the winged beings of light guiding us or providing some kind of support, or is it more like we care about you guys, you're here for a specific reason to figure out a way out of the matrix?
Yes. This is where the Dajad meditations come in, because they're a technique to get out. And also the winged beings of light are your guidance to break free from the system. And it's all about following your own personal power and sovereignty. And the winged beings of light are here precisely for that purpose. I do think that their kind of cornerstone is there's something wrong with this place right now, and humanity is being with Earth in terms of the control mechanisms. Humanity is being led somewhere, not a nice destination. What they do is they ask you to question that in your own life and in yourself. And that's their way of leading you towards your personal power.
I'm not sure if this is relevant or not, but in the current political turmoil here in the States, we do have people, ill-advised perhaps, but that are questioning things but are coming up with these wacky conspiracy theories that couldn't possibly be true. Is that related, or is that something not relevant at all to what you're talking about?
Do you mean conspiracy in terms of
QAnon and really wacky things like Jewish space lasers and things that our beloved GOP tend to make up? Is that something different, or?
I think there's a lot of rubbish out there because this whole extraterrestrial thing has become a real commercial thing and a real kind of like, wow, news, blah, blah, entertainment. I think it's built on truth, but I don't know enough about what's really going on. I'm pretty sure that we will hopefully have disclosure very soon. I'm pretty sure that we all know that there are spaceships and there are other entities on this planet. I personally don't doubt that at all. I really don't. There's too much evidence for things like that and space programs and technology. But in terms of all the extra stuff going on, I think that there's a lot of made up stuff.
It would appear that is definitely the case. Another thing I got from the book, which is related, Earth, the planet, was being used for survival of another species, which is probably that same lot of people. They survive or they feed on our fear. Now, going back to what I mentioned a minute ago about people being, I think, misled to believe that, for instance, former President Trump was sent here by God, that's just completely bonkers. People like him are probably the most unspiritual people in the galaxy, albeit it's a stretch, but could it be that some groups of people are very highly suggestible and this other group of beings are kind of manipulating them because they're feeding off the fear? Yeah. Is that plausible?
Oh, God, totally. Absolutely. I think that whichever group of entities are controlling this planet, they're totally in control. They know exactly what they're doing. They manipulate everything. And there's a lot of inverse psychology used also. It's playing people against each other. They infiltrate to make certain people look good and use them as a distraction while other things are happening in the background. So someone like Trump, who's very entertaining, can have the people's attention for a good couple of months while there's other stuff going on. And they'll use his power, in a sense, to instill war and fear and stuff in people. I mean, he says a lot of stuff which puts people against each other. They'll use that and survive off that kind of energy because that drops our vibration completely. And
these
entities love for us to be in a low vibration.
Fear is obviously a low vibration, and that's almost like vitamins or food sustenance for them. And you also contend that the Djed meditation is a way to overcome that lot and their influence, where we could say, piss off, I'm raising my vibe and you're out of my space. True or false?
True. Absolutely. Yes.
Good. Another thing I noticed, and great explanation, by the way, that was really nice. This is from Satya. Satya is a she. I wasn't really quite sure.
Mm-hmm. She comes across as a she.
She says, seek shamans and truth seekers to unlock our genetic codes. So what are these genetic codes that you know of?
I think what's happening there is that she's asking us to go back to our primordial state and to connect from that point with the earth. So it's breaking free from the identity or the story of your life, bringing yourself back to that pure sense, the essence of soul. From that point, connecting with the earth, because, you know, the earth's a living being. It's a living energy.
Like the trees.
Trees.
Everything's alive.
Exactly. And through that connection, I think we unlock something about our divinity and our essence. We start communicating on another level. We start realizing everything around us is alive and living. And so I think that's what Satya is trying to tell us. It's about coming back to the essence, coming back to the original codes, finding the beauty in life, on the earth, in flowers, in anything, finding that beauty. They always say that beauty unlocks something on the inside. You know, beauty unlocks a power. So I think it's recognizing within that there's a pattern. Nothing here happens by chance. Nothing's really by accident. I mean, everything's got a formula.
I agree with the advice of seeking shamans, because the shamanism is a tradition that is probably 30, 40,000 years old, if not older. I think they can provide as good as guidance as anyone. We're going to go back to a quote by your Victorian eloquent gentleman, Thoth. Apparently, I'm seeing that image now and it's incredible. Egyptians, according to him, built pyramids to bring heavens to earth and create a connection to source. Is this why there are so many ancient pyramids all over the world?
Yeah, yes, definitely. And I think that piece that you just said about Thoth can be seen also on a practical level, because the pyramids, they were also vaults of chemicals and reactions and physics and a massive center which was producing all types of materials and gases and things like that for manufacture, for farming. The chemistry involved at that level in that period of time, I think, could have only been brought to the Egyptians by some kind of outside knowledge. That's one reason why I think they talk about that connection with the gods, but also the acoustics in the pyramids. I haven't been to the pyramids, but from what I understand, the acoustics in there are so powerful that they actually can shift frequencies and things like that. And I know that they were used for a lot of meditation practices, for a lot of what one might assume is magic, but not necessarily. It's really the chemical reactions of these different forces working together to create and maybe shift matter. And so I think that's why Thoth is talking about them being a connection with the divine. I know the pyramids in Egypt have an alignment with Orion's belt. So there's definitely some kind of connection there with a star system.
And therefore a connection with energy grids running in a certain way. I've heard that from a lot of experiencers, channelers, and that lot of people. It's pretty important knowledge. And going back to what you said about the Egyptians, it seems to be that their civilization just kind of came almost out of nowhere. Their technology apparently was very advanced for that time. Speaking of technology, you believe that the winged beings are telling us to be careful with technology. Does this have anything to do with AI and the inherent dangers of that?
Yeah, absolutely. So essentially, the winged beings of light are here to tell us that we are powerful. We are powerful as humans, and we have forgotten that, or we have never had that drummed into us because of the control matrix. Therefore, we're extremely gullible. Because of the control system, we don't know how it can also be used to manipulate us. The level of control that's going on without us realizing our own power, it makes us very susceptible to being used. And there's a warning in that. And it comes back almost to what you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast when you said civilizations end up having a really high period and then suddenly, you know, they get all crazy with this technology, right?
And they go into a bear market, a consciousness bear market, and they go into a dark period. I believe there's a concept that's called the great year concept, where, again, talks about cycles. And I think consciousness can peak, it could bottom out as well. And hopefully we're coming out of that, I think. But based on what we see in the news here in the States, sometimes I'm not so sure, but maybe all this is supposed to happen. It's a bit concerning what we're talking about, this star race that's keeping us in this matrix. If you go back to the theory, or should I say the concept of reincarnation and coming into the in-between state where we plan our lives and come back, we all agreed to come here one way or the other. It's like an assignment because we accepted the challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting because I'm going through my own evolution. So I certainly think that on one level and agree with all of that. But I'm also beginning to question this whole thing of like coming back time and time again and not remembering anything. It's almost like Earth should be the school, and it probably may have been established that way initially, and then we learn something and we move on. But that whole original system is corrupt now because we've been controlled. And so it's harder than it should be. There's more struggle than it should be. And I'm not sure when we pass, I'm not sure if we're necessarily moving on necessarily or coming straight back in and being recycled. I am beginning to question a lot of things outside of this system, because I think that the control is beyond the Earth. I think that we're still being controlled when we pass over.
Really? I'm hoping that's not the case, because if we try to follow the light and the love and everything else, hopefully we rise above that.
Yeah, I think in a way, the winged beings of light are telling me, certainly, without fully telling us really everything that's going on, but it's like saying, you better get control of your power now, because there's a lot of stuff happening. Right? You can't see it, but we know. So either you do these meditations or you read this book, but you got to wake up so that you'll be fine when you exit.
So it seems to me that you have already asked the beings of light about the control, and will we be controlled once we leave Earth? Hopefully they're shaking their head and they're saying, no way. And tell Johnny not to worry. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, they're saying to me, no, no. And I think they're saying that because they're here to stop that eventuality. That's why they're here. They're the reassurance.
Tell them I said thank you, just in case they can't hear me, but I imagine they can.
Yeah.
What are the most important takeaways from the messages you've received to date?
From the winged beings of light, specifically.
Mm-hmm.
They are fearless. The messages I think they give me that are the most profound for myself are that you just have to do and go for what you want. Be free, because anything that you perceive may be an obstacle or is stopping you, it's not. It's you. It's your mind. You're also creating your reality on a certain level. And so it's about just moving forward regardless and going for it and not being held back by fear at all. And that the momentum of that gives you that immense strength to actually think, you know what? Fuck the system. Sorry for my language.
Don't worry about it. You said it, not me. And the system is the matrix, is what you're saying.
Right.
That's
yeah.
What you're referring to.
Because when you get to that level of self-determination and autonomy, you're not scared anymore. You don't fear it. And I think that's the most profound thing they give me.
And it reminds me of a phrase from an old friend who once said, replace your fear with faith. It's funny how a lot of these well-worn cliches and platitudes actually turn out to be true. Jade, thanks again for coming on to the show today. Amazing stuff. Perhaps we will have a part two at some point. In the meantime, how can our listeners find you online?
So my website is www.londonthetahealer.co.uk, and my Instagram link is @HackneySpirit.
Awesome. I will put that in the show notes in the transcript as well. You've been listening to Closer to Venus. I'm Johnny Burke. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing. You can also find more information on closertovenus.com. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.